All right, let's go into Philippians 3. We're going to talk about something, and I know we've been in leadership. Let's just kind of assume that we're staying in leadership until otherwise noted, all right? So tonight, we're going to talk about the verses that are very familiar but are very loaded when it comes to things that we need in our lives, our ministries, and relationships. And so let's start with verse number 13. If you've been around for a little bit in church or are familiar with the Bible, these verses are going to have a ring. But they're going to bring up because you probably hear them often. It says this. Now, Philippians 4:13 is, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Philippians 3:13 is where we're picking up. It says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But look at what he says. But I focus on this one thing. And I want you to understand that there's a process that he's about to talk about. He's saying, I got to focus on one thing in my life, but there's a process to get that focus the center of my life. He says, forgetting the past and looking forward to lies ahead, I press. All right, verse number 14. He goes on and he's saying, I'm pressing forward, the King James, towards a mark, towards the prize of the high calling. It's saying, I'm pressing to reach the end of the race. I'm pressing to receive the heavenly prize, which God has given us, granted us through who? Christ. He's calling us to it. So I'm a visual learner. And every now and then, when I read scriptures, I can start to see it visually. Anybody else like that? So tonight, I need some help. I need some volunteers. Is that okay? So if you're listening on podcasts, it might be a little hard to see what we're doing because you can only see with your ears. But I'm going to explain it in a way to where you can understand what we're doing. So I need about four people, and I normally pick on people. So tonight, I'm not going to do that. So raise your hand. All right, Bill, come on up. All right, Will, come on up. All right, Tammy, come on up. All right. It's going to require a lot of water. Walking, so I'm gonna hold off. Is that okay? All right. Tara, come on up. All right, now I've got my four. Tara, you're gonna be. It's gonna kind of sound like the Christmas Carol, but it's not. You're gonna be the future.
Okay.
All right. Is that okay? All right. Now, Timmy's teaching. He would have been perfect for this. I need a single dude. All right. Any. Sam. All right. Yes. Sam's like, I'm not going to volunteer myself, but I'm going to have a coughing attack right here. All right, Sam, come on up. All right, yeah, you got to. All right, come on up. I'm going to have you three come here. All right. No, you're out. You're over there. All right, so give me a sec. I'm still setting up. Hang on. All right. Awesome. All right. So here we go. Sam's going to represent Sam. All right. It's a very hard role to play. And you don't have to brag, but he can play it very well. All right, Paul's saying this. He's saying, I got one thing that I'm trying to achieve in my life. Verse 14 is that thing. He says, okay, I'm pressing to accomplish in my life what God has designed for my life to accomplish. That's the summary of that verse. I'm pressing towards achieving in my lifetime what God intended for me to achieve. Now, that's a very valiant goal, is it not? Yeah, I want to get to the end of my life, stand before God, and God say, you did it. Good job. That's the well done we talk about, right? And he said, so I'm looking that my prize is heavenly. My prize is found in Jesus. My prize is found in God. And I am pressing to become everything that God intended for me to be. And so if you go back to verse number 13, he says, but there's some things I got to do to get there. All right. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Let's say that Tara, again, represents his future. All right. Now, you're not married yet. No secret wedding has happened. Okay, good deal. I don't want some man wanting to kill me later. All right, so here we go. All right, you can only pursue a single girl.
Really?
Yeah, really? What a jerk. All right, here we go. We're going to let them represent certain elements of the past. All right, mistakes. All right, hurts. Regrets. Now, how many of you have these present in your life? All right. And what happens a lot of times in life is at some point, we are here, and this is the company of which we keep. In other words, there's a point in each and every one of our lives that our past isn't our past at all. It's our present. It is what we have with us and what's right around. It's fresh. If you made a mistake recently, it's fresh. If you've missed an opportunity recently, it's fresh. But I'm gonna tell you this. Sometimes you can be 20 years away from that mistake, 20 years away from that missed opportunity, and yet it still be your present because you've never moved beyond it. It's always been with you. You've always had that moment that you wish you hadn't have done what you did, or you wish you would have done what you did not do, or what somebody did to you is looming and hanging on in your life. And you say, well, my past, it is not your past if it is on your mind. It is not your past if it's dictating moods. It is not your past if it's affecting decisions. It is your present, and it needs to be put in your past if you ever want to get to your future. And there's a lot of things in my life that I'm like, well, I used to be, but deep down inside, I still feel like I am. Anybody else like that too? And Paul says, hey, I've got one thing that I want to do. And in your life, your future could represent like, hey, getting married. Your future could represent a career change or something you've achieved that you want or haven't yet got there. And that's what Paul said. I haven't done this yet, but this is where I'm going. And some of you, maybe you want your relationship to be something it's not. And I'm not saying that you're wishing it was somebody else. I'm saying that you wish you had that relationship that was thriving, or you want it better, you want it deeper. Maybe you're close right now, but you want to get a little bit closer. Maybe you're excited about each other right now, but you want to be infatuated. You want the butterflies. You want the thinking about all the time. You want the feels. You want everything that goes with it. And you've not yet achieved it. But it's something that you want. Now, so close your eyes. Nobody look around. Even the examples. How many of you in this room right now or listening right now, wherever you are, have something or somewhere in life that you want to be or you want to achieve that you yet have not yet seen come true to you? In other words, it is something that is not your present, but you want it to be. Would you slip your hand up? That can be a variety of things. Okay. That's most everybody here. Look at me. I can stand here and say, go get it. Or hey, you set the goal and you pursue. Well, that sounds good in theory, but it goes down to the three-letter word that most of us ask when faced with decisions or faced with change or faced with having to get back up after being knocked down. It's how. How do I get there? How do we recover? And Paul would say it this way. At some point, I got to move beyond this. Now, I want y'all to do something for me, okay? We're going to get a little bit physical with Sam. Oh, yeah, here we go. My wonder is if he was on that side, if he'd be worried about it, you know? Like, but here he's the, all right, here's the thing. When Sam tries to move, you can do whatever it takes to keep him close to you. Does that make sense? All right. Take a move. All right. Without hurting them, do whatever you can to get free. Yeah. Y'all do whatever you can to keep him from going. All right. Okay. Now, would everybody in here agree that nobody's going as hard as they could? I mean, that could have been a little more. I was looking for like UFC, you know, something a little more meat on it. All right, but let's get this. Let's imagine. Let's pretend that they did. If they were to continue that process, he would eventually wear down. He would wear down faster than they would wear down. Because there's more of him. No, there's more of them. And I'm going to tell you this now. You can try all day long to break free of your past, But if you don't have the right method, and if you don't have the right mindset, and you don't have the right community, it will wear you down. And some of you are living proof of that because you've been trying to do it for years. And you've reached a point of mental exhaustion, emotional exhaustion, and things that we see all the time. In our own lives, I'm not talking about in the lives of others, but we also recognize in the lives of other people to where we finally get to a point where we start saying things like, what's the point? Some of you have been there. Some of you may be there. You say, well, I'm not either. Well, good. Good. Because we're talking about leadership. In leadership, you need to be the one that comes into the community and says, okay, listen. I'm going to help you get free. I'm going to help you get there. So Hugo, come help me. David, come help me. You ready? Come on. Wow, you are motivated.
I thought you were just like...
I'm serious. Come help me. And they're like, I don't want to take you two guys to a fight. I mean, I'd be dead by the time y'all stood up. Help! Hugo's like, I didn't know if you were serious or not. All right. Now, let's do this. Tina, will you help?
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't want to put hands on Tammy. You know? She's a little bit fierce.
You got the wrong fighter.
She'll show you later. He said, you got the wrong fighter. We'll see, David. We'll see. Yeah, just kidding. All right. When he tries to get free, y'all do everything you can do to help him get free. Does that make sense? All right. So y'all can communicate. Y'all get a plan, game plan, whatever you need to do. All right. You ready? You got right, yeah. Hugo said, I'll take on the old one. That was well played. All right. Ready? Go. Go. Get him free. Get him free. Get him free. Move, Sam. Get him free. Easier or harder? Listen, y'all tell me, easier or harder? Easier. Why? He had help. Now let's bring in Philippians 4:13. I can do what? That is, I can establish my past through Christ who sets me free. I can overcome my hurts. I can overcome my regrets. I can get an eye or a mind that is set towards the future through Christ who gives me strength. But God is so good that he sent Jesus to save your soul and then surrounded you with others who would help preserve your soul as you're in pursuit of what God has for you. Paul did not minister alone. Matter of fact, Paul was in recovery long before he was ever in ministry. He went blind to the sight of the light that showed up on the road and needed a community to help him. And when that community was done helping him, his sight came back and he was able to see the purpose of his life. God help us that's the church, that's the believers we are. To where when somebody has been blinded because of the road they are on in life and God's encounter in their life to rescue them, that we are willing to take them in, recover, rehabilitate, and help them get set free so that when God's eyes become their eyes, they can go exactly where God has told them to go. And so there's the attitude of, I'm going to need, number one, write it down, I need Jesus if I am going to establish my past. All right, now. A lot of times, and I was talking to somebody about this today, we get told, let it go. Elsa, everybody else starts screaming, let it go. And sounds good. But then again, that three-letter word, how? Do you realize that God never said, let it go? He said, give it to me. You're not... And I am not capable of, number one, forgiving myself. Matter of fact, it's like this. I was talking to our Monday night class. We got into the opiates and Suboxone debate. And I was saying, you know, like, hey, and Pete and I have had this discussion multiple times. Hey, let's get you off a pill with a pill. It just doesn't make sense. Both pills can send you to jail. Both pills can get you arrested. But let's get you off with another. And I understand they say things that, you know, well, we need something to get them going. But I'm saying that that pill is not the answer. The answer is deeper. You want them off the pill, they got to get off of pills altogether. How many of you understand? All right, it'd be like me saying, fix your marriage, Josh. Well, if I could, I would have. But I'm the reason that it might be messed up. Because I'm in it. And if I'm the reason that it's getting messed up because I'm in it, then how am I going to be the reason that it's fixed without getting some type of help that gets me there? Do you understand? It's like saying, okay, you know, just forget about it. Well, that ain't going to happen. And so God doesn't say, forget it. God says, give it. Give it to me, I can forget. Give it to me, I can carry it. Give it to me, I can forgive it. I can restore it. I can use it. He says, hey, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything and tell God exactly what you need. And I don't know about you, but the greatest need I have ever had in my life is protection from me. Like, God, help me to be who you want me to be. God, help me not to feel this way. Help me not to act this way. Help me to not be what I am right now. I don't know if we're honest tonight. I think that's everybody in this room. I mean, the greatest need I have is a Savior, and not a Savior from Satan, he's already defeated, but a Savior from me and the carnality that has taken into this flesh. I need someone to rescue me from me. So I am not the answer, neither are you. And so when I go up to somebody and I'm like, hey, how are you doing? I'm good. Favorite lie. All right. So what's that mean? Well, I'm trying. That ain't going to work. That's just not going to happen. I cannot cure my sin problem. Jesus can. I cannot forgive my sins. Jesus can. I cannot take my greatest mistake and make it into a platform, but Jesus can. My failures, my shortcomings, in the hands of the enemy become a club of which he beats me down. But in the hands of God become the platform that I stand on to prove his realness and his truth. And so I tell people all the time, you know, give your truth to God and God will make it the stage of which you build your life on. Give your truth to the enemy and the enemy will use your truth as the club to keep you from ever becoming anything. He will make your past your present to where everywhere you go, it goes. And everything you do, it does. And every time you speak, it speaks. And every time you try, it tries. And you feel like you can't recover. But I'm going to tell you right now, there is no one under the sound of any voice, no one with life flowing through their veins, no one with a heart that's beating in their chest that God cannot recover. Everyone is changeable. You know why I know that? Because God made you to be perfect and the enemy changed you. And God is the ultimate restorer. And if the enemy can corrupt you, you better believe that the creator of the universe can renew you tonight. But at some point, you got to realize I need Jesus because I can't forgive myself. I can't trust myself. I can't even believe myself. You say believing and trusting is the same thing. Really? Many of you believe in God, but do you trust him? You say, well, yeah. Worry is the absence of trust. Anxiety is the absence of trust. And I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of a lot of areas of my life not trusting God the way I should. Anybody, me too? Yeah. So we need Jesus, and Jesus is the one that comes in and says, they cannot hold you. They cannot control you. You can control them. But you're going to need the mindset of love and joy and peace. You're going to need the gifts of the Spirit. You're going to need the focus of God. You're going to need a belief that God can do anything. And once you have received that belief, then it becomes the community of which fights off this enemy. To where one day you can look, who's regret? You can look regret right in the face and not regret it. You can look the moment that was the weakest of your life that you thought you did your worst and actually for some reason find thanks in it. You know, you can look at the greatest abuse that's ever happened to you. I'm going to move your stuff because God's anointing is falling. All right. So I borrowed that from somebody else. You can look at the things that you thought would destroy you and say, they made me. I sat with a lady today and said, I just feel like we connect in a way that you know what I've been through. She's 72 years old. I'm 35. I'm half her age. You understand these things. And I opened up to 2 Corinthians 1 and I said, this is the only thing that gives me understanding. There's two words that you've got to find in this passage. Number one, suffering. And number two, comfort. And the only way that I can recognize your suffering is because I've seen it in my own life. The only reason I can recognize your struggle is because I've struggled too in that area. I can tell when a little boy or a little girl is getting abused because I know what abuse looks like in a child. I can tell when someone's hiding and lying about addiction because I have been that liar. I have been that person that hid behind those things. It was the suffering that I've endured in life that gave me the vision to recognize it in others. But it's the comfort. And the Bible says in that passage, blessed be the God of all comfort who comfort us in our day of trouble so that we could comfort others in their trouble with the same comfort that we were given of God. And so I realized that it's because of suffering that I've been equipped for this moment. It's because of suffering that I can help you. Because in my suffering, his comfort was made known. And God has given me the ability right now in this moment to make it known to you. I'm not special. You're not special. Not in the world's eyes, but to God. We were everything. And every one of us in here have a moment that God stepped into our hurts. God stepped into our mistakes. God stepped into our regrets. And he said, it's going to be okay. The champion has showed up. You know what God wants us to do? To turn around and show that. And you know what Paul's saying here? Forgetting these things. Putting these things behind me. Now, I can press forward. So, y'all can sit down. All the negative people stay up here. All the, my posse, my muscle, y'all go sit down. All right, there you go. All right. Tina, you owe him a whooping later, okay? All right, don't forget.
For the record, she always beats me. Other people, no.
Can we just say this? He's trying to avoid it. That's all that was. He's like, I'm going to suck up right now so I don't get beat up later. I'm just kidding. All right. So your future is going to be over here doing what your future needs to do. I want you to tell me, while looking at your past, what your future is doing.
I can't see her.
Oh, well.
I don't know.
So what's she doing?
Standing there?
No.
Dancing?
I don't know if you could call it that. I really don't know what it was, just to be honest. But can you tell?
No.
Can you even imagine? Right? You can't guess.
I mean, I could, but it'd be wrong.
It's true. You know, I have found that to be the truth in my life, and that's the expectation. It's an elementary illustration, but such a deep reality of our lives. There's a lot of times that I try to guess what my life could be like if I changed. I wonder what I could be if I broke free. I wonder what I could do if I totally surrender my life to God. And then I wonder why I can't see it. Why is it that I can't experience it? Because I'm looking at the things that I've done or have been done instead of looking at the possibilities of what could be. And all the while, God is over here shaping and forming, molding and making. What could be? Anybody else think that this could be totally amazing if they wound up married one day? Like I'm just eHarmony, JHarmony, whatever you want to call it. I don't know why I snorted. For some reason, Sam's not turning around. Are you blushing over there, man? Is he? But understand this, a lot of our times, and let's be real, most people that we come in contact with that do not know God do not know how to turn around. They don't know how to get past this. I spent a lot of my life not knowing how to, and there's still some things in my life that I think I'm past, only to find that that's right there with me. You know, it's like, I'm not going to, you know, keep it in the forefront of my mind, but I just don't want to let it go just yet. And so I don't think it's there until I stop and I get stuck in life, and then I, there it is. All right. He's figurative. He keeps nudging me in my fat roll, too. Right? Now he's annoying. Am I right? Can I tell you this? Your past doesn't have a hold of you. Colossians screams your freedom. That he took the record of wrongs that was held against you. He publicly shamed it. He nailed it to the cross. It goes on in Colossians to say, God stripped the enemy of all of its power. Your past cannot hold you, but I have found you can hold on to it. You can keep it close. That is why couples, when you argue, your past often comes up. You think you've moved beyond the thing, but only to find 25 years later, there it is. You know why? You've held on to it. You say, it's not that easy. I deserve. No, at some point, if you're going to move forward, you got to get over your right to get even. You got to get over your need for them to know what you've been through. Here's the thing. God knows what you've been through. And God, instead of letting it destroy you, used it to refine you and to shape you. Can I borrow that piece of paper? I'll give you another financial report. Sunday night, I was joking in our life group, and I said, nobody in here knows how paper's made. And wouldn't you know it, Dan has apparently served in the... G.I. Joe Dan worked in a paper mill for 20 years and raised his hand saying, I know how it's made. So after service was over, he came up to tell me. I love that stuff. I would watch a documentary on it. I love it. And he says, you take it and they break the wood down. They destroy it into chips and drop it into these things. And it goes, he said, I was the pipe fitter. I was the one that made sure that that everything that was needed to get it to the next process was intact so that it would never stop. So it's broken down and it's destroyed and then it's taken and it's chipped down into fibers, and the fibers are sent through this whatever he called it, and they put it in this coating, and the coating binds it, and then all the fibers are flattened and it comes out in 20-yard wide sheets, and it's cut and it's colored and bleached and dyed and all these other things. He went through the whole process. And Marty was standing there and he said this, wow. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. He goes, no, wow, wood in its original state, when crushed, is destroyed. But after processed, it can be totally crushed and still be intact. I was like, oh my goodness, that's good. And the Bible says, has not the potter power over the clay? I mean, cannot God take you and from your ashes process you? And through the Holy Spirit get you to everywhere you need to be so that now when crushed, you're still intact. And then Paul's verse comes to mind, pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, cast out but not destroyed. But in my original form, I can be easily shattered. But allowing my brokenness to be filtered through Christ, I can become strong. And isn't it amazing that we could say in this moment that a product of a tree can actually be stronger than the tree itself? Because the tree cannot be crushed and put back together, but the product after processed can be crushed and still be completely intact. And even though I have regrets in my past, and even though I have hurts, and even though I have mistakes in my past, God can use those in the process of creating my future. And that when I've been tried and I've been purified, the Bible says I'll come forth as what? Gold. And as long as we get stuck, and this is where the enemy wants us, looking at all the things we should have or could have and all the things we didn't, we'll never see the possibilities of what God is creating for us to do. And you may sit there like Sam and say, well, I don't know what he's doing. Here's why. You're not looking at what God is doing, but guaranteed, it's simple. If Sam were simply to change his perspective, his future can do whatever she wants to do. Ah, so she's embarrassed. That's a good sign.
That's rude.
What is she doing?
She made a face.
How do you know that?
Because I watched her. Josh, you gotta get with
the program. I'm with the program. I'm trying to get everybody else with it. Oh. Here it is. I can't see what God is doing in my life when I keep focusing on what I've done. But the moment I turn to the possibilities of what God provides, it's a little bit easier to see. And even though I'm not where I want to be, Verizon Wireless, all right, there you go. Even though Sam has not made it, he can still believe it exists. Still believe that it's possible. Anybody that's ever worked in ministry knows that God gives you glimpses of where he's taking you long before you start the journey. And when you keep your eyes on the pillar of cloud and fire, cloud by day, fire by night, children of Israel in the wilderness, you can still move even though the conditions aren't good. It's the moment you lose sight of him that you start relying on this. And as we saw at the beginning, he can't get anywhere with his past hanging on. At some point, he's got to break free, and he's got to start pressing. Yeah, you can move.
I know what you were asking. Oh, I
mean, it's your future. You do what you want.
You were applying force to my back.
That's true. Some of us in our ministries and some of us in our marriages, some of us in our lives need to realize that pressing doesn't come easy. You know what Paul's saying here? I haven't got there. Fighting for it. I'm giving it everything I've got. I will not stop and I will not quit until I've achieved it. And this is the same guy that at the end of his life said, I fought the fight. I kept the faith. I finished. It's the same guy that said, I did what was necessary, but I'm going to tell you, Paul's life wasn't easy, was it? Matter of fact, you got to think that Paul had a lot in his past he needed to be able to get by. The fact that he was a murderer, and not just a murderer, he murdered the people that stood for what at the end of his life he stood for. He killed the messengers that were now the message being relayed to him. He was the one that would put them in the grave for saying what he was now saying. I guarantee you, at times of Paul's life, the enemy showed up to remind him and say, how could you say that when you have killed people for saying what you just said? Forgetting the things. And I am thankful today that I do not have to be what I used to be. And no, others may define it, and those others may remind it. I don't have to carry it with me. And good news, neither do you. And there are going to be days of your ministry, days of your marriage, days, or maybe years, that you wish never existed. But the Bible says the godly will stumble 7 times, but get back up. You're not going to be forsaken just because you forsook. You're not going to be turned away just because you turned away. God is a God. Jesus is a Savior. The Holy Spirit is a guide. His Word is a truth and a light that any time you turn to go back, it will remind you of what God has for you. And it will fight against your desire to return, to point you to what you could have. And that is why it is impossible to be a child of God and be comfortable in sin. It's impossible to be a child of God and be comfortable in complacency because you have the Savior and the Spirit that's saying, no, no, this is what we have for you. This is what you're capable of. This is what you could be. And many of us say, I'll never get past this. And you're exactly right. Until you choose to let it be the past, you will never go further than where you are right now. You say, well, how do I make it my past? Give it to God. And don't just give it. Give everything in the process. Say, okay, I give you my past, but I'm going to let you be in control of my future. I'm not going to try to make her or find her. I'm going to let you be the one that's in charge of this. And in the meantime, I'm going to pursue to find the prize that you have stored for me through Jesus Christ. And that is where you are able and I am able to recover. That is how imperfect people can still carry on his perfect mission. Because there's going to be times in ministry that you got to get back up. And there's going to be times in your marriage. There's going to be times, listen to me, those of you in recovery, there's going to be times you have to get back up. But get back up. Just because you got to go back to a blue chip, which is what you get at the beginning, doesn't mean you failed. It just means there's a new journey about to happen. New life about to begin. New lessons that are going to be learned. And through these lessons, you're going to liberate others. Through these moments, you're going to find the answers that not just you need, but somebody else is going to need that you're going to come in contact with. Because the God of comfort just didn't show up to comfort you. He showed up to make you a comforter. He showed up to put a little piece of him in you so that when you see somebody that is struggling like you, you can go and say, no, you need to see that God has something better for you. And through Jesus, we'll get there. I mean, how many of you love love? You know what I'm talking about? Where's my hopeless romantics? You're not a hopeless romantic? Are you a hopeless romantic? Oh, y'all might work. She don't care either.
That's right.
Does anybody else kind of get a little bit excited when you get to introduce somebody? I mean, when a teenager comes up to me on a youth trip and I say, who do you have a crush on? And they tell me, I can't wait to tell the other person. You say, that's so bad. How is it bad to maybe introduce them to what could be good? So don't tell me that secret. Am I right? Casey? Spencer? I've never done it to Spencer because he's yet to tell me. But I will if he ever does. He's smart. They'll say that. New kid get on the bus, I'll be like, you got a crush on anybody? No! They'll start screaming. They're trying to say that. You say, well, why would you tell them? Why wouldn't you? I mean, how are you ever going to know if they like you back if you don't tell them in the first place that you like them? You're saying, but I fear rejection. You've already rejected yourself not trying. You've already put yourself in the box. So I'm enjoying this moment. A little bit too much. You uncomfortable?
Not really.
You liar. Ready?
Yeah.
Are you uncomfortable?
No, sir.
Okay. It's time for invitation. All right? Like. Listen. Now, I'm just playing with them. If they wound up together, I'm going to be like all ecstatic. But here it is. No intentions. Holy Spirit moment, right? I'm just kidding. Understand this. Listen. There is no greater thrill in when I do weddings than to stand at a wedding of someone that for years I've seen God shaping and molding their lives. And I've got to do many like that. Kay and Jordan, I enjoyed that wedding. I didn't get to know Kay as near as long as I got to know Jordan, but I got to see the journey that God had Kay on. And Jordan was not in view. And when Jordan wasn't looking at Kay, Kay wasn't looking at Jordan. Neither one. I guarantee you, when they first came to this church together, if I would have said they would have wound up married, they would have both looked at me like I was crazy. Am I right? Oh, I didn't know you were up there. All right, there you go. Forgot Jordan was here. Good thing Kay didn't hear that amen, but all right, here we go. But it's pretty awesome to see how into each other they are. I know she posts a lot on Facebook about them. But isn't it good to actually see somebody excited about their partner? It's a whole lot better than when her putting a wanted sign, free bounty, $100,000 to whoever brings him. I don't want him dead or alive. Dead will do. No, you know, it's good to see that. This past weekend, I got to stand at Russell's wedding, and I knew Russell when he was very, very little. And just to stand and see how God had shaped their lives. And to know that God had you be a part of their journey. It's a beautiful thing. It's amazing when you get to be a part of somebody else's love story. Would you agree? Matter of fact, don't be so invested in somebody else's that you don't have your own. But let me bring it into reality. There is no greater feeling than introducing someone to the love of their life. None. And no, I'm not talking about Tara or Sam. I'm talking about bringing someone who had no hope to Jesus Christ. And to watch how that relationship blossoms. But don't get so wrapped up in their love story that you forget you need your own. My greatest days are spent with Jesus. Anybody else? My happiness is at a high when I am where I need to be with Jesus. Anybody else? I can't get so invested as a pastor in your love story with him that I forget I need my own. So in pursuit of my own, as I'm pressing towards my own, I'm going to press for you to find yours too. Because there is nothing for you where you've already been. Because my Bible says it this way: your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard, nor has it entered into your thoughts, nor your imaginations, the things that God has in store for you. But at some point, we got to get our eyes off of there and back to here. And can I tell you this? I know this hurts to many of us who are holding on to hurts. But I'm going to make a very strong statement. And it's for me. God gave it to me today for me. You'll never recover from those hurts while holding on to them. And it is no one else's fault that you're holding on to them. It's your own choice. They may have brought them into your life, and I am sorry that ever happened. But they're not the ones keeping them there. I am. And you may be just like me saying, but if they would have. No. They did. And what they did is in the past. It has been done. It's what you're doing with what they did that is either making or breaking you right now. And I am thankful today that I cannot stand here and blame my dad for anything. Because every decision I made in my life was based on my choice to do it. My dad did not make me an alcoholic. My dad never drank in front of me. My dad never drank that I know of. Never. So how could I blame him for something he never introduced me to? At some point, I've got to let go of that bitterness. And thank God I've been able to let go of that bitterness to realize that those years of my life were not because of what my dad created. They're because I chose to keep these things around me instead of letting Jesus have those things. But the moment Jesus was given those things, he took away the bitterness and the roots that those things created. And now I'm finding that there's other areas of my life I need to let go of. And just when I think that I have surrendered my past, I stop or I get stuck in something only to find I'm still hanging on to something that I need to let go of. And you say, well, what do I do? Give it to God. Because good news, God does have the ability to let it go. You and I don't. He can heal me. He can forgive me. He can be trusted. I cannot. So bow your heads, close your eyes, and nobody look. Y'all can be seated. Thank you. Yeah, give him a hand if you don't mind. They did a good job.